National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project 2. This is Eleanor Cohen and Rose Grossman interviewing Mr. S.J. Novin at the Jewish Community Center on March 27, 1978. Mr. Novin, we'd like to begin this interview by talking about your family, your parents, where they lived, and something of their life.
I was born in Europe, and my father left Europe at the beginning of the 20th century. It must have been around 1906 or 7. And I was quite young at that time, and in a few years, you know, they were preparing for the First World War and so forth. And we communicated with my father, but around before the war started, we had all the papers to go to the United States.
Now, are you saying, excuse me, that your father left the family in Europe and he came to the United States?
That's right.
Where was it? What town was this?
Oh, that was in Biala, Poland.
Biala,
B-I-A-L-A, I think they spelled it.
Poland. And your father's name?
Was Julius.
Jules Novin.
And my mother's name was Ida Novin.
And the reason that your father left Biala?
The reason must remain economic conditions, you know. At that time, I suppose, many of the Europeans went to the United States, to improve themselves, you know, and we were left in Europe, and I had a sister, I think, at that time, whether she was born when he left, or right after he left, I'm not quite sure, you know, and so forth like that, and after a few years there, naturally, he sent us some money to live on, and then the war developed, and we had all the papers to go to the United States, and then they declared the war before 1914, and we were stopped to go there, and then the Germans advanced into Poland, and I was already a young chap, and so forth like that, and I was afraid, and I insisted, that we should leave that part, our city, and we went into Russia to avoid, the advancing armies of Germany.
Now, before this happened, let's go a little back a little bit. Tell us, what did your father do in Poland before he left?
My father was a tailor in Europe, a ladies' tailor.
And how did you manage when he left? You lived with your mother and your sister.
Yeah.
Her name was, your sister's name?
My sister's name was Beatrice.
And how did you manage without your father?
Well, it was tough at the beginning, naturally. I was young, and then I started to get a little job, to help out a little bit, and then my father, after he got settled in the United States, he kept on sending some money.
Where did he settle in the United States? Where did he come to?
He originally came to, naturally, New York, and from New York, I think he didn't stay there very long. I think he had a friend in Pittsburgh, and he came to Pittsburgh.
That was the reason he came to Pittsburgh?
That was the reason he came to Pittsburgh. And he settled in Pittsburgh, and he stayed all his life in Pittsburgh.
And your mother, can you tell us something about your mother?
Well, my mother was a wonderful little woman. She raised us, after not having a husband around and so forth. It must have been very tough for her too. And she tried her best. And from And from there, when we left Biella, when I saw that the advancing German armies are very close, and I insisted that we should go to Russia to avoid the war and so forth like that. And my mother took my advice and we left. And when we came to Russia, I got a little job so that I could support my mother and my sister.
In Russia?
In Russia.
Well, where was this in Russia?
That was Belarusia.
Biella was the Russia?
Biella, no, Russia, that was White Russia, you know, they called it.
Well, what was the name of the place in Poland?
In Poland was Biella.
Yeah.
The name of the city was Biella.
Yeah.
And that part of Russia was, let's say, it was near Minsk, Bobruisk, I think. Bobruisk, yeah. That was the city that we...
How do you spell it? Do you remember?
Bobruisk, I don't know. Any way you'll spell it, I suppose it will be all right.
And what did you do there?
I got myself a little job in a printing office. You know.
I guess we should ask you the date of your birth. Should have done that beforehand.
Well, I might as well tell you. I usually don't tell it to anybody, but I'll tell it to you. I have complete confidence in you. I was born in 1900.
Yeah, but you know the month and the...
Well, October 23rd, 1900.
So now you were in Russia with your mother and sister. And tell us what happened.
Well, we were there.
Did you know anybody there?
No, we did not know anybody there. We adjusted ourselves. We got a place to live with some, with a nice family, you know. The man happened to be a music teacher, and I started to take lessons in the violin, you know, and so forth like that, even though I did not make very much. And he didn't charge me very much, you know. I did not become a great violinist, you know, like Nathan Milstein, but for a little while I played pretty good.
Tell me, what language did you speak when you were in Poland, when you went to Russia? Did you speak Yiddish? Did you speak Russian?
But, you know, you adjust yourself no matter where you go to, you know. We spoke Jewish, you know, but I spoke some Polish and Russian, you know, and at that time.
Now you lived, when you lived in Poland, you lived in call it a ghetto, or where did you live in?
I don't think it was considered a ghetto, you know, it was a beautiful time, that time, you know, and it was pretty nice. We did at that time. We didn't know too much about in that time, anyhow, about ghettos.
And when you moved to Russia, you were able to communicate with your father so that he knew where you were.
No, at that time we were not able to communicate with him. You see, we started before the war, and we were not able to communicate with him. We did not hear anything from him for years. You know.
And he didn't hear anything from you either.
We didn't have naturally.
How long did you stay in Russia?
We stayed in Russia from 1914 to 1919.
I see. And then how did you come, then what happened?
Then we tried to communicate with my father, and we finally reached him, and he started to send some money and so forth like that. And we made arrangements to go to the United States. At that time, conditions were very bad in Europe, especially in Poland. They tried to get all the young people into the army, in the Polish army at that time. And I came back I came back from Russia. I had to separate myself from my mother and my sister, and she went back to the to Bella, to the old place. She had, the mother-in-law was, still there, and I think the father-in-law also, but I couldn't go in there on account of the conditions that existed at that time. And I went to Warsaw. And in Warsaw, conditions were very bad too. When I reached Warsaw, I had an uncle there. I didn't know him. I never saw him in my life. And I tried to find him. When I reached Warsaw, I saw a few dead individuals on the street, you know, and that scared the life out of me. And I finally reached the apartment where my uncle lived there, and the janitor was very kind. He says, "You cannot go too far anywhere now." And he took me in, and I stayed in one of the hallways there till morning, till I went over to my uncle at that time. And my uncle was afraid to keep me there too on account of the conditions, and I was young, you know, and so forth. And I went to another place, and finally I got adjusted there. I got a little job, and I was always lucky. People liked me, so this year father took me in, and they gave me a job, and they liked what I did. And I stayed there for a while, but I did not want to stay there. I wanted to keep on going so I can reach the United States. So from Poland, I went to Germany.
What was your employment in Warsaw when you were there?
Also in the printing business, yeah.
Then you went to Germany?
I went to Germany, and naturally I didn't have very much money in Germany either. And I got myself a place to stay there for a while, and I started to communicate with my father and so forth like that. And I didn't hear from him for a while. At the same time, I was also trying to get a little job so that I could survive, you know, and so forth like that. And I also got a job in a big cleaning office, you know. And at that time, conditions in Germany were very bad too, you know. It seemed, you know, the Nazi element, you know, was developing at that time.
What,
you know,
years 19, were
that
Germany?
Was in 1920. I don't know whether you remember at that time. At that time, you know, they had a counter-revolution. The General Kopp occupied Berlin at that time, and it happened so suddenly when I came down. I lived in an apartment, and the woman was a very old woman, and she took a liking to me too, you know, and so forth like that. She was very old. She had a big apartment put in here in the center of Berlin, near Unter den Linden, you know, and not very far from Unter den Linden, two blocks or three blocks. And I stayed there for a while. I got myself a little job. And one morning when I came down, you know, I saw that soldiers all around the streets there during that time when the counter-revolution was going on. And it was the Kopp revolution, I don't know. They occupied Berlin at that time against the democratic form of government at that time, the Weimar Republic, I think it was called, I don't remember exactly. And when I came down, naturally those doors were closed in the apartment. It was a very nice apartment. And when I went out, you know, nobody said anything. When I went back to my apartment, I didn't know the conditions at that time. It happened so suddenly. When I went back, the soldier was at my door, and he wanted to see my passport, you know, my registration card in Europe. He always said to have a reason, but I was not even registered at that time. Naturally, I was, I thought fast enough, and I looked into my pocket and I said, I'm terribly sorry. I changed my suit and I left my passport or registration card in my room. He looked at me and he believed me, and I went upstairs and I stayed there in my room for 4 or 5 days because I was afraid to go down. Then that the occupied forces of the general had to give up Berlin at that time, and they went back to the regular government, the democratic government. But during the time that I was there, and I was connected with a big outfit in the printing department, what you could see how things developed at that time. I was watching, you know, they have the proof presses and so forth like that, near those proof presses, you know, they always watched me. I had suspicion, and I really didn't know why they should watch me, because I didn't bother anybody. I was very friendly with everybody. So one afternoon, I jumped over there to see why they're watching me and so forth like that. And I saw that they were printing leaflets against the Jews, you know, and so forth like that. Naturally, the management did not know anything about it, and I started to raise game with the management that things like that should not be allowed to go on.
In other words, other employees in the printing plant,
you know, unofficially, not officially, you know, so forth like that. And I started to raise game, and the management stopped it.
And was the management Jewish?
No, that was a very big outfit, and so forth like that, German. You know.
Was the woman you lived with Jewish?
No, absolutely not. No.
In other words, you didn't live with Jews when you were in Germany. There were
I just happened to strike. I happened to strike the apartment. In fact, at that time, when I went to Germany, there were a few boys from Russia there that I used to know, and they went to the University of Berlin, you know, and so forth like that. At that time, when they were in Russia, I didn't even bother with them too much, I don't know, for some reason, and so forth like that. But they happened to see me there, and they tried to do anything they could for me. In fact, when I met this year party, he gave me the same woman to see that he lived there for a while. That's why I got into that apartment.
Mm-hmm. So then you raised this fuss at the printing factory?
Yeah, and they stopped those things for a while, I think.
And how long did you stay in Germany?
I stayed in Germany for about a year or a year and a half, I don't remember. And then I started to, you know, to keep on going closer to the to get out of Germany so that I could reach my father. So from Germany, I left Germany and I went to Belgium.
That was in
Belgium. That was in 1920.
Mm-hmm.
In Belgium, At that time already I had a few dollars, and I was very lucky again. I got into a private home. I was very lucky. I always got old women. And this woman had a beautiful apartment, and she looked at me. I guess she started to like me or something like that, and she said, you can have a room here. And I looked around the room, and then the carpet, beautiful carpet, beautiful rooms. And she gave me a bedroom over the bed, you know, in those places. They had a canopy there over the bed and so forth like that. And then I had another adjoining room. It was made out of glass and a garden, you know, and so forth like that. Well, I was very lucky. I stayed there for a while, and I tried to communicate with my father. He sent me a few dollars there, and then there was a delegate that came to Belgium. It was Antwerp, Belgium, and it finally reached me. Usually that woman didn't allow anybody to come into their room, you know. And she was one of those very old women. She didn't want anybody to bother with, but he came over, and I felt spread it out that he just came over from the United States, and a friend of my father's, and so forth like that. So he was allowed to come in, and he came in, and he looked over the situation. He says, my God, I said, why should I stay in a hotel? I can stay here. But I said, you cannot stay here. You liked it so well. And from Belgium,
Now, he was a delegate. Let's go
back. He was a delegate to Europe at that time, from the United States, I don't know. And he happened to know my dad, and he told him to look me up. And he did look me up, and when he looked around, and he was under the impression that I must have been a millionaire myself, you know, living in such a beautiful place, and so forth. And from Belgium, naturally, I tried to get as close to get out and come to the United States. From Belgium, I went to England, and so I thought I had a better chance to get out of England.
Where in England?
I was in Liverpool. I was in London and Liverpool. I stayed in Liverpool for a while, you know, and I finally got made arrangements, you know, to get on one of those ships to go to the United States. Naturally, you had to get all the legal papers and so forth to do it. In Europe, you had to get legal papers regardless where you went to, from one little country to another, or from one city to another.
How did you do that?
More than through the regular procedures.
And where did you finally set sail from?
From Liverpool, England.
Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. And when was this?
That was in 1920, the end of 1920.
And you arrived in New York?
Mm-hmm. I arrived in New York, and naturally, from New York, from New York, I went to Pittsburgh, because I had uncles and aunts in New York, but I came to Pittsburgh to be with my father.
Now that was, you hadn't seen your father then in 14 years, is that right?
Yeah, I didn't even recognize him. I didn't know that that was my father, but I was told, and I had the address and so forth like that, and I was a young kid when he left.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Well, I guess now the story is beginning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I mean, When I came to Pittsburgh, I guess my father was primarily interested, you know, to help me out and to start something. He said, you want to go to, you know, to start a business or something like that, you know. At that time, too, he was originally in the ladies' tailoring. At that time, you know, the ladies made their own dresses and coats and so forth like that. It isn't like it is today, you know. So he was a very high-class tailor, you know. And he wanted to help me out. I said, my dear father, I said, I came here to spend my life here. I don't want any business. I don't want to get a job. I said, I want to go to school. So, whether he liked it or not, I made up my mind to do it, you know. And in fact, I must tell you this little thing, you know. For a while, you know, he had a sister here in East End, and I...
Your father had a sister?
A sister, you know. And actually, for a few weeks I stayed there, and you know, and he paid me, I don't know whether I should mention it or not, he paid me $2 a week, but I saw that this is not for me, you know. The Chicago Opera used to come to Pittsburgh at that time, and when I went over to buy a ticket, you know, I like musical reads and so on. They asked me $3.5. So I had to go out and get myself a little job too, so that I could afford to go to the opera and the concerts and so forth like that.
How old were you when you came to this country?
20.
20.
That's right. I gave you the years when I was born.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
So I told my dad that he liked it or not, as I said, you know, and I tried to find out what's going on. And there was a school there on Grant Street. I think they called it the Grant Street School. I don't know whether you remember or not. And I went there for a couple of months, you know, to get a little of that language, you know, and so forth like that. And I tried to make arrangements to go to high school, because I was in Europe and I got some schooling there. So in 21 I was accepted, I think 21, in Fifth Avenue High School. And I got myself a little job too, so even though I got the support from my father a little bit, you know, to not to worry too much about board and so forth like that, you know, but I had to get a few extra dollars, as I told you before, to do the things that I wanted to do, you know, and which I did. And and I went to Fifth Avenue High School. And within 3 years, I graduated from Fifth Avenue High School. In fact, I might as well mention the fact that at that time, I was a little older than the other youngsters, you know. Elmer Feinberg was in my class. And he was running for president of the class, you know, so forth like that. And I was his campaign manager.
And
even then, you know, and so forth like that. And he made it since I was campaign manager, you know, and so forth like that.
Who was it that was running for?
Herman Feinberg.
Oh, Herman Feinberg.
Yeah.
Now tell me,